Change of gears now. We're gonna be talking a little bit later about brain development. But first, earlier this spring, a study out from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that while smoking is the number one preventable cause of death in the U.S., obesity, if it keeps going like it is, would soon claim that title. In 2000, 400,000 deaths, nearly 17% of everyone who died that year, were blamed on poor diet and physical inability. Today, more than two-thirds of Americans are overweight. Nearly one-third are obese. Who or what's to blame? Well, probably, of course, a combination of factors. Genetics, poor eating choices, even poor exercise choices, confusing product packaging, and supersized portions at restaurants. And regardless of the cause, though, the bottom line is that obesity is a big and growing problem, and one that's going to need a solution if we're going to stop these kinds of deaths from and diseases from obesity. So we'll be talking about solutions to the obesity problem for the next segment. So if you'd like to join our talk, it's at 1-800-989-8255. Let me introduce my guests. Dr. Donald Hensrud is the editor-in-chief of the new Mayo Clinic Cookbook and Mayo Clinic on Healthy Weight. He's an associate professor of preventive medicine and nutrition at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He joins us today from the campus. Welcome to the program, Dr. Hensrud. You're welcome. Dr. Lester Crawford is the acting commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration and the chair of the FDA Obesity Working Group in Rockville, Maryland. And he joins us today by phone from his office. Welcome to the program, Dr. Crawford.
Thank you very much indeed. Happy to be here.
Thank you for being with us. Dr. Hensrud, there's a conference going on at the Mayo Clinic. You've organized an action committee that's taking place today. What's the goal of the meeting? You say, I heard the word creative in there. What are some of the creative types of things? Dr. Crawford, the FDA has recently tackled obesity. Your working group was created last summer. And reading from the report, Calories Count, report of the Working Group on Obesity, your recommendations are summed up this way. Quote, the recommendations contained in this report therefore focus on a calories count emphasis for FDA actions. Are you basically saying count your calories, eat too much food, stop eating food? Stop eating too much?
Yeah, what we're saying is that calories in and calories out is basically what the situation is. Exercise is very important, but also monitoring of calories. And FDA will start some efforts to demystify the food label to help consumers in weight management.
But you do not, in your report, make any differentiation between the kinds of calories, whether they come from carbohydrates or fats or protein. You just say watch the calories and you're on your own.
Yeah, we made a mistake with the nutrition labeling initiative some 11 years ago by just emphasizing fats. And so consumers were lulled into believing if they bought some food that said low fats or reduced fat or no fat, they would be perfectly all right. In fact, they should have been, and we should have been encouraging the counting of calories along with good nutrition across the board.
Because there are studies out now, one of them from the Harvard School of Public Health, that says, there's been this rise in diabetes, and says that there's a tremendous match between the rise in diabetes and this ubiquitous corn syrup that's in most of the foods, the sweet foods we have today. And yet I see no recommendations for cutting down on those kinds of sweets in there.
Yeah, the overall calories are important. Type 2 diabetes, which is the one you're talking about, I think, does come from being overweight. It's associated with that, and the rise has been phenomenal, particularly in young children. And so we're focusing on what's called the comorbidities associated with diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is just one of the things associated with obesity.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hensrud, the FDA recommendations about counting calories, if you go through the recommendations, it recommends food labeling. It asks that companies take voluntary actions. Are these creative enough solutions for you, do you think? So you don't buy the fact that people have been brainwashed into eating incorrectly. Would you recommend then taking sugary drinks out of the school cafeterias and soda pop machines there?
this as a source of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to proceed in an orderly manner, but we need to be progressive in our recommendations.
Dr. Crawford, tell us about the FDA overseeing food labeling. How can food labels be changed to help people make better dietary choices?
Well, there are a couple of things we're proposing. One is that calories be featured. They've always been the first thing on the food label since we started it 11 years ago, but it isn't emphasized. We're going to raise the type size we're proposing, and also we're going to for the first time, indicate what the daily value is of what you've just eaten. For example, if you consumed a 1,000-calorie milkshake, it we will say 50% of your daily intake of calories has just been consumed. And so that people can keep up with it. We find that Americans and people from other countries don't like to do the math on the food label, so we're going to do a better job of doing that for them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we have multiple serving sizes on things like soft drinks, as you and Dr. Hinsrud have been discussing. And although the serving size might be 8 ounces, we see some packages now that contain 24.5 ounces. Hard to figure that out. So we want the total amount of calories in the container to be listed on the label, and we're moving towards that also.
Are all these things going to be mandatory, or are they going to be voluntary?
Right now, it is voluntary to list the total number of calories. We will propose, if it doesn't work, to make that mandatory. The percentage of calories that you've just consumed from whatever food you're eating will be made mandatory. And we're also going to try to demystify this problem about net carbohydrates and things like that. We are going to require, through regulation, some moderation and clarity in carbohydrate labeling.
1-800-989-8255. Al in Milwaukee. Hi, Al.
Hi. On this advertising, dangerous products, cigarettes, they're not advertised. Liquor, hard liquor, as far as I know, advertising isn't allowed on television. Why do we allow advertising of food? It seems to be the single most effective thing we could do to fight obesity is to ban food advertising on television. And I know the answer is in campaign contributions to Congress. However, what I would like to know is, Why aren't any of these people campaigning to get these advertisements off television? I'm sure there are some who are, but you never hear about it. There is nothing effective being done to get these advertisements off television.
Or maybe a warning label like they have on the cigarette.
Well, just get the ad off. If you can't advertise cigarettes on television, let me tell you something.
Give me an example of an ad that you think is injurious.
Pizza shuttle. You know, I went out once with my brother to pick up some pizza. I saw all these people dragging their kids into Pizza Shuttle at noon for the noon buffet to eat pizza, and everybody was fat.
Well, everybody thinks, but doctors think pizza's pretty healthy. Got all the...
Well, the doctor should have seen this line of fat kids going into pizza, and I'm talking about kids who look like they were about 10 or 12 years old.
All right. Let me get a quick answer. But first, let me remind everybody that I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Dr. Hinsrud, what do you think?
There are certain segments of our population, specifically children, who are susceptible to advertising. And I think in that, the ads you see on Saturday morning cartoons, we need to be careful about that, and there may be a relationship. On the other hand, food companies are here to stay. We've got to work with them. And I tend to agree with you. There is a big difference between a double meat, double cheese pizza and a whole grain pizza that has light cheese and a lot of vegetables on it. So it's not a black and white issue, and we have to draw the line between personal choice and over-regulating some things.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Crawford, anything we could do for portion control in restaurants?
Yeah, we are working with the National Restaurant Association towards a system of them providing calorie content of foods like that, particularly in fast food restaurants. And some progress is being made. When the Secretary of Health and Human Services made the obesity announcement related to this, he said that we would try this for a while, and if voluntary labeling didn't work, then we might come back and revisit it and consider making it mandatory.
So has it been revisited?
Well, he just made the announcement a month ago, so it's just being tried.
All right. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Nora in Barrington, Rhode Island. Hi, Nora.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a registered dietitian, and I see many patients. I see diabetics and celiac patients, and I have kids too. And I noticed that lot of people eat a lot after a certain time of the day, which is past 3 or 5. And they don't have enough time to eat lunch. Or even at school, they have maybe 12 minutes to eat lunch for children. And I know from my kids, when they come home, they eat and eat. And this is a lifestyle that is not helping us in this nation. Children need a longer lunch break, and they have to enjoy their meal, and dinner should be more sensible.
Interesting. So you're saying that we don't show our children that eating habits are important because we don't spend much time allowing them to eat properly.
Exactly. And I see it in all the schools, whether it's elementary or high school level. Children are not having enough time to eat, and then when they go to college, they have no idea about what to choose when they are on their own. And once in the work field, they are rushing through work, and dinner is their main meal, and then it goes on with snacks and ice cream afterwards. And this is when we don't need the calories. We need our calories during the morning and the lunch period, and during the time when we're mostly busy and running around.
Interesting.
We're ready to go to bed.
Yeah,
This is when we have surge of energy that we're not using.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Enzerud, any comment?
Yeah, she raises a number of points. One is the food that we're serving in schools, and I think that there is some room for improvement in a positive way, and we need to start our children off right. It's also important what we feed them at home, and we need to involve children in choosing food. That's what we do at home with our young kids, involve them in the preparation, and get back to the basics of real food. With regard to when we eat, that's actually a myth. A calorie is a calorie, as Dr. Crawford has mentioned, no matter when you eat it. Now, the problem is what we're eating late at night. People tend to overconsume. They consume more fast foods. But we do need more time. And when people say they don't have enough time to spend on this, I'd submit it's not time, it's priorities. And we need to make time to in our fast-paced world, there should be time for physical activity and nutrition. It isn't being paid enough attention to.
There you have it. I'm going to have to stop at that point. I would like to thank my guests, Dr. Donald Enzerud, Editor-in-Chief of the new Mayo Clinic Cookbook, and Mayo Clinic on Healthy Weight, an Associate Professor of Preventive Medicine and Nutrition at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Lester Crawford, Acting Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration and Chair of the FDA Obesity Working Group in Rockville, Maryland. Gentlemen, thank you both for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're going to take a short break, change gears, and come back. We're going to talk about why are teenagers, when they're, you know, they're teenagers, why do their moods and whatever change, you know, something's going on in their head at that time? We'll find out why. Stay with us. We'll be right back.